I do have to tell you, when I speak, it does make my husband really nervous. he is always concerned that I'm going to say something that's going to embarrass him. And I think I already accomplished that in the announcements this morning, but I'm not going to say that it won't happen again before I'm done. I'm also going to try not to disappoint Darren by finishing too early. You know, he can be pretty particular about the details. So I am going to do my best to keep you here for at least the next 20, 25 minutes or so. I just saw my friend Heather check her watch. She has to listen to me talk a lot at work, so she's probably thinking, 25 minutes? However, I do tend to talk fast when I'm nervous, so we're going to just see how this goes. So about a year and a half ago, when our lives as we knew it was turned upside down by COVID, we had stay-at-home orders, isolation, masks, and shutdowns. There were many times that I wondered how I would have handled it if all of this had happened when my pop was still on this earth. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure I would have survived not being able to see him. Don't worry, this is not a message about COVID, but it is about a girl's love for her father. During all that time of self-reflection, God placed a message on my heart to share about a father's love. And then when Darren asked me if I would be willing to speak today, I spent a lot of time in prayer to understand what God's plan was. And I got to tell you, it has been a bit of a winding road to get here today. What I thought my message was going to be about a totally different direction. And apparently God has a different GPS system than I have. But I will say there was a lot of surprises and self-revelations around every twist and turn. So this may be more of a testimony than a message. I'll let y'all decide. As I walked down this path, God showed me that our idea of being, or what we may believe is the perfect parent, may not be what we thought at all. There are many facets to being a parent or how we perceive our parents, but there's one truth. Everyone has experience with parenting because we're all someone's child, right? Some of us had good experiences while others have endured hurt and pain, mentally and physically. The good news is there is one who parents perfectly. This morning I'd like to share what it means to me to be, in what is my opinion, a child of God. I love the Passion translation of 2 Corinthians 6:18. I believe we may have it up on the screen. I think it describes perfectly what God's intention is toward us. It says, "I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty." A true father, what does that mean? Being children of God means we have access to the throne of grace through prayer, anytime, and from any place. We've had the promise that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. A father that loves us unconditionally, provides for us, and will always be there no matter what. Most of us as children expected our parents to provide whatever we needed and to love us unconditionally, right? That was definitely the case with my dad. Not only as a child, but as an adult. Most of you know that I was born and raised in Mississippi. I'm sure you heard a lot of myths about people raised in the South, and the reality is most of those are not myths at all. It can be a different way of life for sure. For my dad's generation, there was still a lot of emphasis placed on being the firstborn. He was the firstborn to his parents, and his firstborn was tragically taken at the age of 7. Then a few years later came me. I was not the firstborn, but then I became his oldest biological child. And anyone who ever saw me and my pop together knew I was a daddy's girl. This was partly because of being the oldest, but I think mostly it was because I reminded him so much of my mother. He was my hero, and I thought he hung the moon and stars just for me. Okay, well, he may have hung a star or two for my brother and sisters, but yeah. But as much as my daddy loved me, sometimes his parental desire to protect me, no matter what, was not what was best for me or the best course of action. I know most of you probably think that I was the most perfect child ever. And as a child, I was pretty close to perfection. Except for that time I cut off all my sister's curls or set the backyard on fire. But as an adult, occasionally, rarely, I may have made some poor decisions. There was really the short period of time that I was a hot mess. And when things got bad and when I couldn't dig my way out of the hole that I dug, I did what I always did and I ran to my daddy. My dad's love for me was such that he did not want to see me suffer in any way. He wanted to protect me. And I'm sure many of us here who have been that parent or have that parent. I know you're thinking, well, of course, this is normal, right? Who wouldn't? But let me share an example of how my dad would try to protect me. When I screwed up, my dad would make excuses for my behavior. He would always find a reason as to why I did what I did, downplay the situation, or sometimes even find someone else to blame. Early in mine and Kevin's marriage, my dad lived with us. His health was failing, and he could not take care of himself. But just like most newlyweds, occasionally we would have minor disagreements. I know you find that hard to believe that Kevin wasn't always so agreeable. My dad was really good at staying out of it as long as I was expressing my opinion or my point of view. However, once Kevin began to try to interject his opinion, my dad would say, "Leave that girl alone." So sorry, honey. Poor Kevin, he really just didn't stand a chance when it came to me and my dad. This really is a mild example of how my pop, who I thought was the perfect parent, was actually more of the imperfect parent. I have no doubt that he thought he was doing what was best. My dad meant well, he really did. And as his daughter, I never doubted that he loved me unconditionally. Now, we've all read stories in the Bible about some of the more well-known parents, like Adam and Eve, Noah, Jacob, Moses, and even King David. They all had their own struggles with their kids. I mean, just look at Cain and Abel. But I have always wrestled in my mind with the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old when he and Sarah, who at the age of 90, finally had a child. I cannot imagine either living to that age, much less having a child at that age. I can't even imagine if I was told that I was going to have a child today. I think I would have been just like Sarah when God revealed his plan, and I would have laughed and, yes, probably even questioned his wisdom or sense of humor for sure. But Abraham believed in God's promise that he and his son, along with their descendants, would inherit the land and become a great nation. And then after all of that waiting and faithfulness, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son? I mean, seriously? If you had waited all those years for God to fulfill a promise of a son, and then he said, take your kid up that mountain, build a fire, and sacrifice him, would you? I referred to Isaac as a child. Although the Bible doesn't specifically tell us how old he is, theologians, thank you, suggest that he was between the ages of 18 and 33. He was at least old enough to carry a large stack of wood up the mountain, which would also imply that he was old enough and strong enough that he could have stopped his 118-year-old plus father from tying him up and placing him on a burning altar. But just as Abraham trusted God's plan and his belief that he would protect Isaac, Isaac was confident not only in the love his father had for him, but Isaac also believed in God's promise to Abraham. Now, I still have to wonder where Sarah was in all of this, because as a mother, I probably would have been holding on to my kid's shirt, pulling him back and asking my husband, what do you think you're doing with my kid? But let's fast forward a few hundred years. We're all familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I'd like to think about that for a minute. He sacrificed his son for us. How many of us would allow our children to go through what Jesus did if we had the power to stop it? I'm not talking about the times we as parents let our kids go through a difficult time and face the consequences of their choices. You know, the tough love parenting. Jesus was free from all sin, after all. He didn't make bad choices, right? I have rationalized in my own mind that, well, we all knew from the time Jesus was conceived that he was going to be the Lamb of God and he would be sacrificed for us so that we could live. I mean, most of us learned John 3:16 even before we knew the true meaning of Christmas. But this is where we learn what unconditional love truly is and what it means to be a child of God. God chose Mary just like he chose Abraham. The difference is Mary knew she could not stop the sacrifice of her son. It had been prophesied for hundreds of years, but she also believed in God's promise that he would return as the Savior of man. That's God's love for us unconditionally. He could have given up on us hundreds of years before that, but he didn't. In Galatians 3:29, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to God's promise. Because we have all been born into God's family, that's right, like it or not, you and I are family. Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally, and unlike my earthly father, he really can protect me from some of the hardships that life throws my way. But sometimes he also needs to show me a little tough love. And maybe that's because I didn't trust him to begin with. I'm going to go back to my dad for a minute. As I stated, I never doubted that he loved me. And he never liked to see me cry. He would always give me a hug and say, buck up, baby. When I hurt, he hurt. And just like he didn't want me to hurt, I didn't want to see him hurt. So I bucked up. In March of 2005, my dad went to his heavenly home. Although I was happy for him because I knew his body was finally healed in heaven, my loss was very deep. And so to cope, I poured all of my energy into my job. My career, And once again, I bucked up. It took me years to realize that where I found my identity was in my Father's love, and then I found it in my job. Well, fast forward about 10 years later, and then the rug was completely pulled out from under me, and I was lost. The position that defined me was no longer mine. I was miserable. I was hurt. I was angry. And so very lost. Man, I miss my daddy. I actually remember thinking on multiple occasions that this would not have happened if my dad was still alive. As if he could have protected me. I know it isn't true, but I needed that unconditional love to validate my worth. It took a couple of years, but during that time, the Holy Spirit really began moving in me. He led me to opportunities to serve Him in ways that I could never imagine or even thought I could do. One of those is me standing before you today to share this message. He showed me where my true identity lies. He showed me tough, unconditional love. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 tells us, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." I'm going to read that last sentence again. "But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." Our identity is not in the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with the love and respect that I have for my pop. But He couldn't save me from my sins. No matter how much He wanted to or how much He tried, there's only one Father that can do that. Here is what I know now. I am a child of God. There was a time a few years ago that I needed a constant reminder of this, so I had it tattooed on my wrist. It probably should have been on my forehead. So I could see it every morning when I looked in the mirror. But now I see this as a testament of God's love for me. This is my identity. God calls people from every era, region, and status in life to be His children. For all eternity, the sons and daughters of God will worship Him as one, united as a family from every nation, tribe, and tongue. I was blessed with an amazing earthly father. But through Christ, I am an heir to God's kingdom. We, all of us, are His children. And just in case you didn't know, our Father loves us so much, and He really did hang the moon and the stars just for us. Let's pray. Now, Father, how lucky we are to be called Your children. You are such a good, good Father. Your love for us is as immeasurable as the stars in the sky, more than the hairs on our head. You love us unconditionally. You always welcome us home, no matter what. By accepting Your Son as our Lord and Savior, we have become a permanent member of Your family, and You have given us eternal life in Your kingdom. Thank You, Lord, for these blessings. Our identity will forever be as Your devoted children. I just
ask that you continue to accept us, Lord, no matter what. And I ask all of this in your precious Son's name. Amen.